The aim of the lecture today is to show you applications of least square programs, and in particular of non-linear least square programs. I mean concrete applications. All of them fall within a class of applications which can be summarized as data fitting, or probably more appropriately, curve fitting. Okay. I'm just going to give you a general framework. Okay. Actually, statisticians and economists often call this type of problem also regression problems. Okay? The idea is the following. Suppose you have some data. Okay? Your data may be, each data is a vector in a space. Okay? It's a vector of S components. Somehow consider this as an input which gets processed by some black box, okay, and you get an output. Let's say for the sake of simplicity that the output for each set of data is a number, okay, is some yj in R. You don't know what happens here. Okay. For instance, this could be, well, s equal 1, this could be time. Okay. You measure some physical quantities at the time, and this is the quantity you measure, okay, in a physical experiment. Or these are the inputs of some software, and this is the output. Or this is a state of, for instance, an economic system. Okay? And this is a quantity you want to measure, coming from which corresponds to some particular state of the system. Okay? So the question is, what happens here in this box? Is there any meaningful relationship with your inputs and your output? In such a way that if I do know what happens here, I can predict what happens even for data which I don't know, okay? Which I do not test, okay? Or which I cannot test. How do you do this? Well, first of all, you need some knowledge of the system, okay? Some knowledge of your framework, and you somehow must have a guess here. Typical situation is where you guess that this relationship is given by some class of functions, okay? Functions which depend on some parameters, okay? And you want to set up the right parameters, okay? So you want to find a function, possibly, such that if you, from RS to R, such that if you compute the function in TJ, you get YJ. Okay? Such a function always exists by definition. You simply define, since all these data are different, you define the function this way, this point, and in some other way elsewhere. Okay, but this is not very meaningful. Okay, if you know that your function must belong to a particular specific class of function, might be that this is not true, this is never true, okay? Or in this specific function, actually, f depends on some parameters. Let's say x1, x2, xn are parameters such that f at t depends on the parameters. The most simple relationship is, for instance, if you use a linear function, okay, over j, and in this case, let's say s equals n. Okay, so let's call this s. Your data, your output depends data linearly on the input data. Okay? And the question, if you know a class of function which is suitable for your program, is choose the parameters in such a way that they fit as best as possible with this equality. Okay, this is equality probably won't be true for any choice of x1, x2, xs, but you want it to be as close as possible. Okay? Okay, this is just an example, so don't focus on a linear relationship. Okay? For instance, I showed you in the very first lecture at the beginning an example coming from physics where the phenomenon you want to exploit is some sort of decay. For radioactivity decay is extremely slow, but there are in some reactions, for instance, physical reaction or interactions, some quantity goes past to zero. And so, in that case, the example was something like this. The two parameters were, and so the function was a function of t, where t is a time, so it's a number, and you have two parameters, and the relationship is this one. Okay? This function is a function that at zero starts in x1 and then rapidly goes to zero as x1 increases, as t increases. Okay? So this is t and this is f of t. I'll show you once again it back in a moment. So you want to find the best parameters which fit in with your data. Okay? And how do you perform this? Well, one way to perform this is to use least squares. Okay? So here you have a case in which your model is linear, here you have a case where your model of function is nonlinear. Let's say a generic f which depends on a set of parameters. So your function f, for given values of, let's say, n parameters, at a vector tj, at a vector tj, take some value, you compare it with your expected output, okay? You would like this to be zero, okay? And for all j's. One way to choose the parameters in such a way that this is as close as possible as zero is to take the square and sum all over your data. Let's say you have m data. Okay? And you wish to minimize this as a function of x1, x2, xn, the parameters. Okay? So this can be seen as a g function of x1, xn, and you wish to minimize g of x, where x is any vector in R. Okay, x is the vector of the parameters x1, xn. And this is what data or hook fitting does. Okay? Clearly you could think of different model where rather than taking the square you take the absolute value and you sum the absolute values and so on. OK? Okay? It's not a unique choice. But this is a least square problem. In this case, it is a linear problem, because it depends linearly on x1, x2, and the other xi, xj variables. In this case, it is not linear. Okay? And in this way, you find the values of the parameters for which this class of function fits the data as good as possible. Okay? So, today I'm going to spend the time together to show you applications of this. Okay? And I will show you in a couple of different contexts. So now it's time to turn this on. Do you have questions? This type of reasoning applies in almost every field of science. From physics to chemistry to computer science to economics. And so it is coming, so let me show you. These were the examples of the very first lecture we had in September. Oh, is it crashing now? Okay, so I'm going. I'm gonna skip this. This was the example I was speaking before. You have two parameters, which here are called theta and lambda. On the blackboard, they were x1 and x2. This is the type of function for different values of theta and lambda. Suppose this is a physical system in which you make observation of some quantities. This is time. As time goes by, the quantity changes this way. Okay? And so you have this observation, which is ti, the x component, and yi, the y component. Okay? And you want to find the minimum of that function there, where yi and ti are the data, and your variables are the parameters theta and lambda. Okay? So here, to make sense, you also have to ask for them to be non-negative. Actually, you can also forget about that constraint, because if lambda is negative, this function is going up, so it won't be a good approximation in any case. Okay? And this is the best fitting curve of that kind. Okay? What's wrong with this? Well, nothing, except for the fact that these are synthetic data, or fake data, so if you like. Well, they do not come from any experiment at all. I just took one, this function here, I took the value and I made some noise, okay? Some random perturbation. Okay, just to draw the picture for you on the blackboard to understand. Well, now I'm going to give you real applications, okay, with real data. And the first one, okay, comes here. Let's say to study the growth of a system. This data come from a web service, pretty many years ago now, a service which started in January 2004, and in the metrics you see there the months and 3 years on the rows and the number of new users for each month. Okay, users which register to that particular system. And here you have an histogram with the way registration evolved for time. Okay, and I want to know how many users you have in the system. Okay, this was a web service of a friend of mine. It's not, but you can imagine, for instance, Facebook. Okay, or any service you can register for. This system had no outs. So once you registered, you had been registered and you might have been active or inactive, but there was no way of cancelling. Okay, it was not considered. So this is somehow simplified. The number of users increases through time. Okay, so if I sum up the quantities, in January you have 175 users, in February 300 registers, so at February you have the sum of those two numbers and so on. If I put for each month the sum of the previous month in each year, this is the histogram you get. This is January 2004, the number of users you have, and this is December 2006, the number of users you have. Okay? When you don't understand something, please stop me immediately. Okay? And see, you see the way the system grows, the number of users grows through time, through 3 years. Okay, this is an histogram, and this is you can see the same as a piecewise linear function. Okay, I joined all these, which are the true data, with lines. Okay, and somehow you would like to predict what happens the next month, the next year. Okay, how this system continues to grow. Okay, one way to do this is using least squares. But to use least square, you have to consider a reference class of functions, okay, which depend on some parameters. So I went to check for some material, for some books on growth models. Okay. I find a number of textbooks, and in particular one by statisticians. And the main kind of growth that are considered are these four type of functions. Exponential growth, it's got your image, okay? The growth is, it grows with E, with the powers of E. Or time power, as time goes by, it increases like a power of the time, okay? Third is a limited growth. Okay, if you take t that goes to plus infinity and x2 is positive, this goes to zero. So in the limit, this function as t goes to plus infinity approaches x3. And the same for this other model, which is extremely well known. It is the logistic type of growth. Okay, which once again, if x2 is positive and t goes to plus infinity, this goes to zero, so this goes to x3 once again. But the two go to these limits as time goes to plus infinity in a different way. And I'm going to show you through some choices of parameters in a moment. If you want to do lists first, you'll have to choose one of these models. Okay? Or, as we are going to do, you can try all of them. Okay? But each of them leads to a different least square problem. For instance, I take the logistic growth. I have three parameters to choose, and I want to choose these parameters in such a way that this function here with those parameters fits as best as it is possible this function here. Okay? The function of my data. So this will be a function, this will be function, and I will measure the distance of the function from my actual data. Okay? And take the squares and do the least squares problem. Okay? So here there are graphs with some choices of data for all these four types of functions. First one is the exponential, starts very slowly, and then it blows up, okay, very fast. Clearly, it doesn't seem a good choice for our problem, okay? We had a start growth, and then we somehow stabilize towards some value. Time power still goes to plus infinity. Here I choose as the power I choose as x2, I choose 1/2, so it is growing like a square root, okay? And it is going this way, okay? If x2 is greater than 1, it is similar, but it is similar to the exponential, okay? It blows up pretty fast. And time power x1 represents the quantity at time 1. Okay, if you put t equal 1 there in the time power function, you get x1. So here I choose 1. So at time 1, the value of the function is 1. Okay. Just to give some meaning to the parameters. Okay. And then I have the limited growth and the logistic. I chose x3 to be equal to 3 for both of them. This is the limit as the function goes to plus infinity. Okay. But you see that the way to reach this value is somehow different, because the limited growth is some sort of it's a quantity minus a negative exponential, so it starts grows fast and then slow. When it is close to 3, it starts going very, very slow. Okay, the logistic somehow has a different behavior, starts slowly, then improves fast, and then once again approaches the limit very slowly. Okay, so they represent different way to grow. The limited growth has a fast start, while the logistic has a slow start, an acceleration, and then slows again towards the limiting value. Okay? So my problem now is, let's take this, all of this, and let's see if how they fit into the model, the best parameters I can get. So the thing is the following. For each, let's say I take the time power, okay? For each choice of x1 and x2, I will add a function here, okay? I will compare the value of the function with the actual data for each key. I will take the difference and take the square. And I sum all over the data I have, and I want to minimize this function in such a way that I choose x1 and x2 that this fits as best as possible. Okay? And this is... Okay, I did not take into account the exponential because it is clearly not a good approximation of our model. Okay? Because these are our data, and the exponential starts this way. Okay, so I did not even consider it. I directly eliminated it. So I computed the best values for the parameters, for the time power, and this is the resulting function, the black one. For the limited growth model, I find out the values of the three parameters, and this is the corresponding best fitting function, and this is for the logistic growth model. Okay? These three here. Okay? And these are the optimal values. Okay? The optimal values mean the sum of the squares of the difference between the true data and the data of the function. Okay? Sum all over them. They are 36 terms in this sum. Okay? And these are the optimal values. These are quite similar. This is a bit bigger. Okay? So somehow this should give you a first hint that this is probably not the most suitable model. Okay? And what comes next? Okay. Before doing this, I'm trying to go, if it allows me, to MATLAB and I'm going to show you, is it starting? How I got to those results. Okay. Some good news for everyone. The university. Do you know this? The university just bought a campus-wide license for MATLAB. Maybe at the beginning of the year you will get some information that this license is available also to students. Okay. So you can put a license copy of MATLAB on your computers. It's slow. Why? Comincia a essere troppo lento. Okay. Here is my file. No, the word that I'm not cancel out. Okay. On my other computer, the window was divided in vertically. Then I would should be for this one. No. Okay. Let's not. I will check during the break. These are my data. Okay. These are my data. The 3 years. I built the least square functions. Okay, taking the data, all of them, so that I have time power, the logistic growth, no, the limited growth, and the logistic growth functions. Okay, and
Okay.
And how do you solve this? Well, we have case Gauss-Newton algorithm. Okay. When you get to applied mathematics software, you always have a function which implements least square problems. Okay. Because it's one of the most applied techniques all over. So I did not call a Gauss-Newton method. Okay. I just used the MATLAB function. Okay. Which, by the way, does not implement exactly Gauss-Newton method, but a different technique. Okay. But here, the core I want to show you is the application rather than the algorithm below, even though I will give you some consideration. So the MATLAB command is lsq nonlin. Okay. You need to give the function you want to minimize. I called it TP. And then I need to give a starting point. Okay. A starting point, what's a starting point? A starting point should be a guess of the solution. Okay. Because it's x0. And then you get x1, x2, and so on. All the sequence of, in our case, two-dimensional vectors. And how can we guess a starting value here? Okay, I'm trying time power, okay? Time power, for instance, we know that for t equal 1 gives you x1 and the value of the first month, okay? Which was, where it is? Which was 175. So for x1, let's try 200, okay? And for the power, let's simply try the linear one, okay? Set equal to 1. We know it's 1 to be clearly the best because it is obvious from this picture that this type of growth is not linear, okay? So let's put 1, and I get the result, which I will call XTP is the solution, and OB, let's name the value, okay? So the function gives you some, the function gives as an output both the solution and the corresponding value. So if I run it, wow. Oh, yes. First I need to load my function. Okay? Here it is. Okay, let's close this one. Let's close this one. Okay. This is the solution. X1 is almost 500, and the power is almost 0.6, okay? A bit more than a square root. Okay, and this is the value, the optimal value, which comes, sorry, which is indeed this one, okay? Then you can perform the same thing with the function is here, the limited growth function. Now your input has to be the three parameters of this model, so let's make an initial guess here. So, x3 is the limiting value, okay? So if we check here, it is between 3,000 and 4,000, so as x3 let's choose 4,000, okay? And then I have to add x2 is the power, no, x2 is, sorry, where is it? X2 is here, and X1, if you take T to be 0, the initial value should be X3 minus X1. Okay, our initial value is 0. So let's take X1 equal to X3, and I have no idea what to put here, so let's put simply value 1. Okay. So 4000 and 1 here. And let me call the solution here X limited growth. Okay, the solution is this one. Okay, so it's in 1000. It's X1 is a bit more than 4000, and the same for X3, which is a bit bigger. And you take here that X2, which multiplies the t in the power of the exponential, is almost 1 over 10. Okay? And this is indeed the value that we had that I put here. Okay? Third, let's try the logistic. X3 should be almost the same. X1 is somehow here. X1, if you take t equal to 0, t equal to 0, this becomes 1. So this is X3, the beginning should be X3 divided X1 plus 1. Our value is 0, but let's say that this solution sounds reasonable once again, because for t equals 0, at this point the value would be 1, almost 1. Okay? And you run it, and you take the solution here, the three parameters, and the value of the objective function. Okay? So somehow in my simple least square experiment, this was the free function which the free mode for each model, the free function which fit better the data. Okay, this is not the end of the story, because I had also data for the next 3 years. Okay. And let's see how my prediction worked, because these functions are defined up to plus infinity, so we could predict the future. Okay? And if I predict the future, the three models work this way. Okay? So black is time power, blue is limited growth, and green is logistic growth. Okay? So this is the data which I had, and this is what I predict, what I could have been predicting with this model. Okay, what do you see? Okay, none of them fits particularly well. Okay, in particular, limited and logistic growth underestimates the behavior, because they are set to get to. They are set to get X3 as the limiting value, okay? And the limiting value, which you computed over the 36 months, is up there, okay? It's a bit less than 4,000. So it's clearly going to vanish there, okay? Not to grow too much. And so they underestimate the actual behavior, okay? Time power, instead, overestimates the behavior. Okay, somehow the growth of the service starts to slow down, and time power does not take this into account because it keeps growing. Okay, it keeps growing to plus infinity. What's the message here? Okay, once you get new data, you should somehow rerun your model and get updated functions, okay, as months goes by. Okay, so this way of making prediction is not particularly accurate. Okay, you should, for instance, think of something more complex, such as machine learning approaches. Okay, but this is just to give you a rough idea. I want to give you a detail on the algorithms, on the Gauss-Newton algorithm. Though it was not what was performed by the computer. If you remember the lecture, the basic idea in Gauss-Newton was to erase second-order terms. Okay? You were approximating the Hn with the product of the transpose of the Jacobian with itself, and you were forgetting the additional terms, which were the sum of the residual times the corresponding Hn matrices. Okay? The question is this a reasonable approximation? It is when the terms given by the Jacobian dominate the terms given by the Hns of the residuals. So here I computed by hand the Jacobian and the Hns of this function, which, by the way, you have two or three parameters, so you can do it by hand, and the expressions are pretty simple. And I want to show you, so let's compute the, okay, this is the solution, okay, for the time power model. The Jacobian is this matrix here, where you have a row for each residual and columns equal to the number of parameters or variables. But in the formula, it was the transpose of the Jacobian times the Jacobian, which should be a 2x2 matrix, and it is this one. Okay, and the other terms, which I simply computed all together, is the sum of all the residuals. Okay, or the sum of all the residuals times their corresponding Hn matrix, and the resulting matrix is this one. Okay, so you see that for the time power, the entries of the first order term is of order 10 to the 12, and the second order terms is order of 10 to the 8. So clearly, the first order term dominates, and our approximation is a good approximation of the Jacobian around the solution. So Gauss-Newton method should work fine. If instead I take the limited growth model, the order of magnitude of the elements given by the Jacobian is 10 to the 10, and the order of magnitude of the second order terms is roughly the same. Okay? So, is it a good approximation? Not so clearly. Okay? The algorithm works all the same, because we proved this is the same method and that it converges. Okay? But probably the approximation is worse, so convergence will be smaller. Okay? I did not implement Gauss-Newton method, otherwise we could have compared the execution time. Okay? And my guess would have been that in this case would have been you would have needed more time. I didn't check the logistics.
But I think it is even worse. So Jacobians provide entries of 10 to the 5, and the Asian 10 to the 7. Okay, so the approximation is surely bad. Okay, so this is one application. If you have questions, curiosities, comments on this one? Yes. The question is the following. The true Asian, which is the one you need in Newton method, is the sum of we made a computation on Thursday. It is the sum of this term plus this term here. This term here is the sum of the residuals times the corresponding Asian of the second residual. Okay. So the true Asian is the sum of these two terms. Okay. So it was just looking whether erasing the second order terms, which is what Gauss-Newton does, was reasonable or not. Okay. And the free function gave three different answers. For time power, yes, there are order of magnitudes between the first order terms and the second order terms. For the limited growth, they were roughly the same order of magnitude, so the answer is maybe. And for the logistic, the second order terms were two orders of magnitude bigger than the first order terms. So the answer is no, it is not a good approximation. So the algorithm works, but probably since it is not a good approximation, it is pretty slow. Okay? Some other remarks? Questions? Okay, if not, we take a very, very short break, no more than 5 minutes, and then I'll show you a different kind of application.